Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Let me tell you what a marriage, a family built on sand. A marriage built on sand starts usually with the couples being unequally yoked together. What in the world does that mean? It means the husband believes one thing about this, the wife believes something else about this. It means one is a Christian, one is not a Christian. It means they're going in opposite directions. They haven't agreed. How any marriage can stand when they're reading different rule books and different principles, I don't know.
The truth is, strong families are the foundation of a functioning society. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message, Building Strong Families, and shows you what Jesus had to say about how to build a firm foundation for your family, one that won't falter when the storms of life come down hard. You don't want to miss it, so stay right here. Before we get to today's message, we want to tell you about a timely resource from Dr. Young called Healing Broken America. This powerful book identifies the five areas where America has lost its way and offers practical biblical remedies to these vital issues. We'll send you Dr. Young's book as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and others all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy of Healing Broken America when you give and discover how you can be a catalyst for the revival, renewal, and refreshment of our nation. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Building Strong Families.
In college, I was taking a course in Russian history. And I'm sure that I read the Communist Manifesto, became acquainted with words like bourgeoisie. But I don't remember it. But somebody gave me, about a couple of months ago, two copies of that little pamphlet that was written by Marx and Engels. And I picked it up and I knew the thesis of communism, from each according to his ability, to each according to his need. And the thesis sounds utopian and wonderful. The only problem is it has never worked when it's been tried in history. In fact, you could easily build a case conservatively that over 100 million people have lost their lives and been slaughtered at the foot of that atheistic view of life. When I read it, I was thumbing it, but in the early pages, I encountered something that was absolutely breathtaking. It said simply that for there to be a communistic society, this pseudo-utopianism, you had to, first of all, totally obliterate and destroy the family. First and foremost, get rid of any semblance, any sign of the family. We would call it the nuclear family. You know why it's called nuclear? It's not for the energy. We connect the word nuclear with that. It is the nuclear of all civilization, the family. And these revolutionaries knew as long as the family was functioning and the family was the center of our society and of our lives, that would be a foundation upon which could not be destroyed. The family. And then it hit me. You know, God established three institutions. We've talked about that. The family first, civil government second, and the church third. So it seemed only natural that if you want to destroy a culture, you destroy the first institution God brought into being. Began with marriage. God performed the ceremony. Remember Adam and Eve. And we said over and over again, how does a marriage function? Leave, cleave, one flesh, no shame. And before the infamous bite was taken from the apple on the tree, if it were an apple, I think it was, already you see the freedom of choice beginning to deteriorate the four principles of marriage. Leave. In other words, leave all things, all others, all other relationships. Evidently, when Eve needed Adam more than any other time, when the serpent, when Satan came, Adam had somehow left and was doing other things. Cleave, hold on to one another. Evidently, they were not holding on to one another. Already, the pre-sin activity. One flesh. They were not one, they were acting independently. And when Eve had eaten the apple, all of a sudden she gave it to Adam, and Adam blamed Eve, and Eve blamed the serpent, and both of them blamed God. You see, already there was a disintegration of the family, which was marriage at the core of it. So here is Satan attacking the family, marriage, through this Das Kapital. And then we see all the rest of it coming down through the Communist Manifesto. And now we see Satan's the first attack. And all of his agenda was on marriage and the family. And then I awakened and said, we're studying wokeism, which is not just an ideology, it's become a religion. Why, if you don't get in with the program, look at every institution in America, and for that matter, almost around the world today, they are wall growing in understanding of what it means to be woke. And if you're not woke, I can tell you, you in all probability in different relationships, you'll be canceled. Yeah, you'll be canceled. By the way, they wanted to cancel Jesus, remember? And they did cancel him. All the institutions of that time and that day said, crucify him. So they canceled him and they nailed him to a X mark of cancelization. And Satan said, amen. By the way, demonic forces use our language, you know, to say amen. So let it be. Jesus had been canceled, but what happened to that cancellation? There was a resurrection. So, we come to this point when all of a sudden you see the attack on the family and the attack on the family, and you take all the operative, pregnant words in wokeism and see how directly or indirectly they affect marriage and they affect the family. Look at some of these words. The woke vocabulary. Tradition, husband and wife. Oh, no. Woke, they're partners. And you ask people, well, tell me about your wife. Well, let me tell you about my partner I've been living with, so forth. Have you ever heard that? Oh, yeah, that's woke language. Mother, gestational person. Huh. Father, non-gestational person. Those are hard to define. The most recent nominee for the Supreme Court couldn't tell you the difference of a woman anyway. Gender. 68 different varieties of human expression. By the way, I had someone look that up. This is true. Monday this week, my researcher looked it up and said they're 68. She called me back on Thursday and said, 4 new ones have been added. I can't make that up. And I asked her, what are these 4 new expressions of sexuality? She said, they haven't given name to them yet. Bachelor, bachelorette, oh no, bachelor X. Bride or groom, forbidden, marrier. Flower girl, flower pal. Bravo bouquet, oh no, they've been totally renamed in our woke culture. And I've got a question for all of those who are moving around in this area. Many of them are in high elective office. Many of them have degree after degree after degree. My question for these is simply this, and I say this not cynically or sarcastically, but I say it with most sincerity. How high do you have to get in our society? And how much education do you have before you lose all common sense? So we come to this point, we ask the question, does the Word of God have any instruction for us? Open your Bibles to Matthew, chapter number 7, and you couldn't have a better instruction for all of us than the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Verse 24, following, Jesus said, in light of what he's been teaching, and you can read all the chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 before this and say, wow, wow. He says, in light of what I've been teaching, who hears these words of mine and acts on them, let me tell you something. You can sit in church every day, every moment, go to every Bible study class, you can read your scripture, you can do everything in the world, and hear, Jesus says we can't just hear, we have to act. Hello? Shocking. I thought I had done all I needed to do. It's just to hear. You see, we're so confused even in the church of Jesus Christ. Have you ever been to a Bible study class and somebody reads a scripture and they ask, well, what do you think about that? Well, what do you think about that? By the way, I'll deal with this soon. That is postmodernism interpretation, and it is deadly because everybody has their own opinion. How do you teach the Bible? You take a verse, you understand it in context of what it means at that time and that place and that situation, and then you hear and you act and see what that means. Do that before that, and you're out in Never Never Land. What do you think about that? No, no, no. Bible verses aren't just up for grabs. Make them mean anything you want them to mean. Just spin them any way you like them. No, 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 not the truth of God. Jesus says right in the beginning, he said, if you hear, that's good, but you better act. Hearing without acting is nothing. It amounts to nothing. So he says, whoever hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man, a wise person, who built his house on rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and slammed against the house. Let me tell you something, folks. I like that word translated here, slammed. And every marriage, every family, everybody knows about what it means to be slammed against. Slammed against. Slammed against the house and yet does not fail, for it had been founded on the rock. Ooh, a marriage, a family that stands. The contrast. Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them, they just hear, will be like a fool, a foolish man, a foolish person who built his house on sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against the house. The same thing happened to the family on the sand, his family on the rock. But look at the difference. And it fell. And great was the fall of that family that was built on sand. Let's make this personal, folks. Is your marriage, your life, single or married or not, is it built on sand? We're talking about the family. Let me tell you what a marriage, a family built on sand. A marriage built on sand starts usually with the couples being unequally yoked together. What in the world does that mean? It means the husband believes one thing about this, the wife believes something else about this. It means one is a Christian, one is not a Christian. It means they're going in opposite directions. They haven't agreed. How any marriage can stand when they're reading different rule books and different principles, I don't know. But a lot of times we fall in love on the basis of, we call it love, but it's probably more lust. I'm not against chemistry in relationship. Sure, that's a part. But marriages that are two individuals living by different rule books, it's like playing tennis. One person gets 2 points every time they make a point, and the other one gets one, and the lines are different, and the rules are different, and guess what? That's not going to be any fun. You take anything we do, and one side is playing by one book, another side playing by another book, and of all things in marriage, the most intimate and sacred of relationships. So the unequal yoke. And in the unequal yoke, and by the way, I have to say this all the time, you didn't mention this. You didn't get, well, just stay with us. We're in general principles. I hope that you will hear and act and apply. And then they're unequally yoked, and then what happens? So many, many times there's adultery. So many, many, many pornea, sexual immorality. There's adultery, and then the other reason for divorce, given the Bible, is desertion, and boy, that's interpreted far and wide. A lot of marriages stay together in form, but they really have deserted from one another, haven't they? You do your thing, I do my thing. Oh, we meet once in a while. So there are the two grounds, and really you see that in so many marriages. Because they were unequally yoked, different principles going in, and now they get in, and here is adultery, and here is desertion, not just leaving, but deserted in working together, teaming together, and then all of a sudden there's a divorce. What is divorce, ladies and gentlemen? I'll tell you exactly what it is. When you get married and I get married, two become one. And divorce is when that marriage commits suicide. Boy, that's hard. No, that is biblical truth. So now that one that you became has self-imploded and suicide is taking place. Let me say over here, oh, that judgmental preacher. No, I'm just teaching biblical principles. There's forgiveness and grace and a second chance, and I know about half of us here have gone through a divorce. I understand that. I'm not an ostrich over there, I assure you. So here's what happens. Suicide takes place, and then sometimes people get married again feeling they have biblical grounds, and many times they do, but they don't change. They go in with the same kind of twisted view of life and marriage and family. And it happens again. And it happens again. And it's always the other person's fault. Have you noticed? Tragedy. The attack is on the family. And when this happens, you know what the devil says? Amen! Yeah, one of our words, so let it be. I've won. And then the product of this tragedy are children. Children. Boy, here, children. What happens to children? Usually they become a ping pong ball because the husband, the daddy, and the mother, they want to make sure the children understand that I'm right, she's right, he's right, and they so many times try to overspoil and do and love those little children who've gone through the divorce, because I want you to know your daddy loves you more than your mother loves you, and you beat the children up. What happens to the children? They have lost the model, the pattern of what God intends for family and how children ought to be brought up. They've lost it. The children are out there in Never Never Land, and they're looking for authority and principle and understanding. And usually mom and dad in divorce, they don't want a discipline very much. Or she'll side with him, or he'll side with her. Right? I'm telling you, just the way it is, ladies and gentlemen. So the children then are looking for some course, and where do they go? Usually they go in the schools of education, right? They go in the classroom, and they're looking for a father, a mother, a mentor, somebody who cares, somebody who'll listen, somebody even who'll discipline.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Psalm 32:8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. God's eye is on us. My mother could get my attention just by looking at me or rolling her eyes. I had a teacher who taught me English in high school, and she got my attention. She would just squint and focus one eye when you were out of sorts. In a way, that is what God does with us. First, he says that he will instruct us. That is the classroom setting. He says, I'm going to set you in a classroom, and I'm going to give you my profound instruction. Then I will teach you as you walk in the way. This psalmist also says, I will counsel with you. Isn't that terrific? And next he says, I'm going to keep my eye on you. I'm going to watch after you. Listen, it is incredible to realize that God keeps his eye on us. Another passage in the Old Testament says, he's searching the world with his eyes. God is, to find someone he can bless. God keeps his eye right on you and right on me, and promises to look out for us. As his children, that's a promise of God. When David contemplated these truths, that we worship a God who instructs us and keeps his eye on us, he ended the psalm by declaring to all who trust in him, be glad in the Lord and shout with joy. Well, I don't feel like it, but you can when you know at all times his divine eye is on you. You're in Christ, you're a son, you're a daughter. His eye is trained on you and on me. Isn't that terrific?
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word, and we'd love to strengthen you further with a powerful book by Dr. Young. It's called Healing Broken America. In it, Dr. Young clearly defines the five areas where America has lost its way and offers some common sense, biblically based remedies for bringing a nation back from the brink. This timely resource is our thanks for your gift of support to keep this program going strong. So call now to request Healing Broken America when you give to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-WALK. 9255. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Join us again tomorrow for the conclusion of Dr. Young's message and discover why objective truth is vital to your family's foundation.